to all my friends is that all of my issues, it's a me, Mario. Woohoo! Mamma mia! You guys, you're number one. Woohoo! Are you number one? Ho ho! Wait a second, bro. Here we go. Woohoo!
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another episode of All My Issues. In this episode, episode 26, we talk about Bill Paxton. As you probably already know, he's passed away, and he's kind of already played sort of a big part in our podcast. We've mentioned him several times, at least in previous podcasts. So we thought we'd take some time out and honor his legacy by talking about some of his greater films. So I'm going to keep this short, and we'll just go ahead and get started. Hello, Internet. I'm Rick.
I'm Sam.
I'm Chris.
All right, today we are going to talk about Bill Paxton and to memorialize him and discuss some of his best acting roles, at least as far as we're concerned, or his best acting roles. We found quite a bit of enjoyment watching his films, and we're going to hopefully spread the joy with this podcast.
Yes. Yep. A memorial.
A memorial, yes. All right, so I guess we'll start off. We're just going to mention, we're going to kind of break form and just kind of throw out movies that we like Bill Paxton has been in. And we're going to start with Sam.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to start out with a movie, 1989. It starred Patrick Swayze, Adam Baldwin, Bill Paxton. It's called Next of Kin. It also had Liam Neeson and Helen Hunt. And to me, this it's kind of, you know, when I remember watching this movie, it's more of a Patrick Swayze kind of vehicle, but seeing Bill Paxton in it and, when we're looking up some of the movies and stuff and remember him being in it and everything, His character's death is what started the war between Patrick Swayze's family, which was the Gates family, and the Chicago mob, and Liam Neeson was in it. So I just thought it was like a pretty good cast, these were all like superstars coming up, and this was one of their earlier movies. So
I enjoyed that movie too. There's a little tidbit that we kind of talked about about this movie earlier. I need to get ready. Ben Stiller made his acting debut in this film, and he's not funny in the role, but we found it funny talking about him.
Exactly.
So, there's a little backstory here.
There is a little backstory
because we were discussing just a few things before we started. And Sam mentioned Next to Kin right as Rick was going to use the restroom. And so there's just
Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller comes flying out of the restroom, and it's led to weird comments. So we're not going to go into all that, but from now on,
just imagine
going to see Ben Stiller is our new I have to go pee. So
I'm going to go see Ben Stiller.
Yeah. There you go. But I guess to go back to Next to Kin, that's a great movie. Honestly, to be perfectly honest with you, I forgot that Bill Paxton was in that movie, but as you described it, I'm like, yes, because it's been a while since I've seen that movie, even though I know the bizarre fact that Ben Stiller is in it. That's a good movie, and Bill Paxton is good in it as well.
And it was before Liam Neeson was, Mr. Taken guy.
That's true. I remember him having some kind of
had a hat hat on. Kind of,
I've
never seen this movie, so I can't really add anything to the conversation.
It's
other than, you know,
it's a good '90s action film. And Ben Stiller happens to be in it.
So exactly. Exactly.
All right. So the first thing I want to mention is not a movie, and it's not a television show. It's something a little different. And I'm just going to get this out of the way. It's from very early in his career. He directed and starred in it. It's a song from 1978. It was actually released on an album in 1980 by a group, a two-man group called Barnes & Barnes, which is made up of a guy named, I believe, Kevin Stevenson and the actor who played Will Robinson on Lost in Space. Huh. And they had a song called Fishheads. Fishheads, roly-poly fishheads. Bill Paxton directed the video for this song.
Get out of here! Wow!
And starred in it. And it is weird.
Is it?
It's got fish growing out of the grounds, and he's watering them like flowers. And
oh,
it's
man!
So, I mean, it's obviously a really weird song to begin with.
Yeah. Roly-poly fishheads. Yeah.
You know, taken to a movie and...
Can you find this on YouTube?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can find the video on YouTube.
So look this up.
It's really strange, really odd. He directed it. He was more in the filmmaking at that point, which is, I think, how he got hooked up with James Cameron.
Okay. So this is an early thing.
Sometime between 1978 and 1980.
Oh, okay.
It became big on the Dr. Demento show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was the most requested song on Dr. Demento show of all time.
Wow. There you go. Bill Paxton starting out strong.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the song?
I don't know. Maybe if I
it sounds like chipmunk voices, and they're going fish heads, roly poly fish heads, eat them up, yum.
No,
I don't.
How does no one know this?
I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, it's so weird.
I gotta look this up.
We're going to have a post podcast video watching.
Heck yeah.
All right.
And maybe after you're done listening to this podcast, you will also
check it out.
Be watching that video. Yeah.
Check it out. Fishheads.
By Barnes and Barnes?
Barnes and Barnes.
There you go. All right. I guess that'll bring it to my topic. I figure we should mention this to maybe get this right off the list right from the beginning. And that's Bill Paxton's role in the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He played a character known as John Garrett on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He happened to be one of the people that kind of started the whole Hydra thing, them coming out and revealing themselves. And it's a pretty pretty important role.
Yeah.
Really, and it's...
It was really well done.
It was well done, yeah.
Spoilers for people, I mean, I don't think it's...
Not at this point, it's kind of,
But, you know, being Ward's mentor.
Yes,
And seeing kind of what led him down the road was a really good character development for Ward.
Definitely, yeah.
And he was a really good kind of big bad for that season.
He was.
And, I guess it was only probably a few episodes, but overall where he was the bad. But he did really well in the role.
He did. And it was nice to see him in that role, too, I think, you know.
I was kind of upset because I was like, "No, say it ain't so, Bill. No."
Yeah,
when he came on, I was like, "Oh, this is gonna be tough. This is gonna be." Yeah. He's the bad guy. Oh, say it ain't so.
Yeah. That burns up the point. There's not too many films where he actually plays the bad guy. I don't think. Is there?
Not really.
Not purely good guy either. I guess
if he is the bad guy, he's more of a kind of a minor bad guy.
He
wasn't a good guy in Terminator. I'm not going to list off all these things. But
yeah. We'll get to them.
We'll get to them.
That's right. So yeah, I guess my addition to it is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. John Garrett.
Yeah. Why one of the best deaths?
Oh yeah.
In television history.
Yep, that is true.
Go on. You can go on, Sam.
Well, you know what? If we're gonna ride off on like his military, you know, he's in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We'll go with Navy SEALs, 1990 film, starring him, Charlie Sheen, and Michael Biehn.
Yeah.
So,
It's been a long time since I've seen that movie, too.
It's about an elite naval SEAL unit set out to locate and destroy the stockpile of U.S.-built Stinger missiles that have fallen into terrorist hands. Bill Paxton's character was Floyd, nicknamed God, Dean, and he was a sniper.
He was a sniper,
but they called him God because, you know,
God's watching them.
He's watching them. He's God watching them from above or whatever.
Gotcha. I think I vaguely recall that. Yeah.
So it's
been a long time since I've seen that film.
I can't even really talk about it too much because it's been so absolutely long.
I think it was my first. You know, besides like sniper, it was just like just a Navy SEAL. So it was before like Team Six or whatever, or the 13th Hour. It was Navy SEALs.
There's just a weird thing. I guess I'll add it. I mean, it doesn't really add anything to the conversation, I guess. But I remember like on watching a Siskel and Ebert episode, because I used to watch those from time to time, where they would talk about the movies and stuff like that, and we're talking about how Navy SEALs was, this movie was kind of portrayed the roles of Navy SEALs. They basically referred to it as like a recruitment film for the Navy SEALs because of how awesome it looked to be a Navy SEAL and like how over the top things were and everything they did was extreme. And but it's an awesome film though.
Yeah.
All right, my next pick for memorable Bill Paxton roles. Weird Science.
Yeah.
Weird
Science. You couldn't leave Chet out of this.
Cannot leave Chet out of it.
Oh, no.
It, of course, is a 1985 film by John Hughes. Something I did not realize until right now. It is based on an EC comic from 1950 to 1953 called Weird Science.
Really?
And, of course, Anthony Michael Hall Ian Mitchell Smith, Kelly LeBrock, two guys sit around to make the perfect women with their, I don't know, Commodore 64 or some such nonsense.
Yeah.
But man, what an evil older brother. Overly intense.
Yeah.
Unnaturally militaristic for someone who's just an older brother.
Is it just me or like Bill Paxton likes being in the military?
He's really good at taking like a small role and just owning it.
Yeah,
and just
that
the way
is for
he
sure.
delivers the lines, he takes roles that in order to be memorable, you need someone being over the top, and he delivers just the right level of over the top.
Exactly.
And you butt wad and. and everything in that movie is just great. I haven't watched it in a long time too, but it sticks with me. And when I just remember as a younger person watching this movie, the feeling of satisfaction of watching him turned into Chet Monster. I've wanted this the whole movie. I didn't know I wanted it, but now I do.
Did it happen? Yes. Yep.
So.
His over the top character is awesome. Yeah,
it was something like "Time to Pay the Fiddler" or something like that. He keeps saying,
"I can't remember." It's been a while since I've seen that movie too, but that's a classic, fun movie. Yeah. Oh man,
that's all I got to say about that. All
right, I guess that we'll move on to another film. I guess that I'll mention will be Aliens.
Yeah,
we cannot leave Aliens. I guess when I think of Bill Paxton, at least for me personally, it's that role, because he's like one of the most memorable parts about that movie. Mm-hmm. Just his character. I mean, the quotes that you can pull from that movie that he said are just, you know, they're numerous. Right. You know, game over, man. Yeah.
He is a subtle representation of what the viewer is experiencing watching that movie, because they only know Alien from one thing. They're going in there with all these weapons, just looking all kinds of tough, and you know, and he's all macho. And then when he's been in missions, he's not scared. And then now when they see the aliens and how many there are and all the stuff, his change in demeanor is the growing doom of the movie.
That's very true. That's very true.
And you know his famous, I remember reading about this, his famous line, like, "Game over, man."
Yeah.
That wasn't in the script. That he improv that.
I think it did. Yeah,
and that's one of the most memorable.
Yep. I just want to appreciate the restraint you just showed, because I don't think that I can say that phrase without going full Paxton.
Game over, man.
Game over, man. Game over. Yeah.
You're dead, man. Game over.
Yeah.
Dead
meat. And what about, why don't you put her in charge? Yeah. That's I remember just loving his character. It's so good. So good. But that movie is quintessential Paxton, I think.
Most definitely.
Yeah. It is. All right. Now, throughout this time, throughout his career, he's probably, you know him by his face, but if you said Bill Paxton, sometimes people get him mixed up with Bill Pullman.
With the other Bill.
So yeah,
they're both BP.
Yeah, they're both RBP. And strangely enough, they both starred in the movie together.
Oh. So, to add to the confusion, we got it.
I think that's where the confusion started. I think that's where people are like, which Bill are we talking about here? And that is the movie in 1990, Brain Dead, starred Bill Paxton and Bill Pullman. It was about a neurosurgeon who, was trying some new things to get people to, who had problems with mental problems, and tried to have them recall memories and everything. Bill Paxton's character was his high school friend who was a successful businessman. Bill Pullman was the neurosurgeon, and Bill Paxton came to Bill Pullman's character, and there was an employee that Bill Paxton had that was a math genius, and who was suffering from schizophrenia and was in a psych asylum. And so Bill Paxton's character wanted Bill Pullman's character to basically kind of operate on this former employee to unlock some of the corporate secrets so that it doesn't fall into the wrong hands, because the guy was obviously a paranoid schizophrenia. And so basically as Bill Pullman is doing this, he's also, with the experimentation, he's also starting to lose his mind in the process. So I think this is kind of Bill Paxton maybe playing a villain, because he's trying to do something illegal.
A little shady.
Yeah. And so that is where Brain Dead comes in. That's where we possibly have the two Bills meet for the first time.
Gotcha. Yeah, I have not seen this movie, so I have nothing really to add to it.
The only thing that I will add, and it has nothing to do with the movie itself, but having this...
The Bills.
Bill Paxton's death, another thing. I always wished that there would be a movie with Bill Pullman, Bill Paxton, Dermot Mulroney... and Dylan McDermott. Yeah. Just to watch IMDb explode upon itself.
Imploding with the sheer star power.
Who's what? What's going on?
I don't know who you are anymore. Yeah. So. All right. Looking over our list, I think probably... the next one I'll go with is... I'm going to get these out of the way. There's some here that we mentioned, because they're really big roles for him, but we might not have as much to say about them. So, for example, Big Love apparently is a big role, but I haven't watched any episodes. I know Sam hasn't watched any episodes, and Rick has only watched a couple.
Yeah, I've watched a handful.
So we can't really talk about that too much. I haven't seen Apollo 13 in so long that I don't really remember his role in it that well, or really anyone's role in it, except that Tom Hanks is in it. Twister.
Yeah, which we know that is like a bull.
That's like one of his biggest vehicle, yeah. Big starring roles. But that's not necessarily one of the roles that I mean, he was good in it. And yeah. I like the movie more because he was in it, but it's just not, it's not yeah. us.
But yeah. that was his second movie that he starred with Helen Hunt in it.
Is what it not number two? Wait, what was the first one?
The first one is Next to Kin, because Helen Hunt.
Oh, that's right. There right. you go. There
Ben
you go.
Stiller.
Ben Stiller, exactly.
Oh, maybe Ben Stiller is a cameo.
Well, that's when your zipper's down.
The one thing I wanted to say about Twister, I mean, I love the cow scene where they see a cow, it's in one of the Twisters, and they're like, hey, there's a cow. And then a cow comes back, oh, there's another cow. And they're like, no, that's the same cow. And every time, and once I've seen that movie, every time I'm going into a tunnel or something like that, because there's a part where Bill Paxton and the crew are, and Helen Hunt are driving their truck, and a house rolls into the street. And Bill Paxton is just yelling, "We're going in!" So every time I go into a tunnel, I'm like, "Oh, we're going in!" So it was always like a funny line to me for some reason. Yeah. I just thought it was funny. So.
It's funny how movies can do that too, because to this day, and it's not Bill Paxton related, but every time I come to a roundabout. Uh-huh. I as we're driving, I'll be like, "Look, kids, Big Ben."
Yeah, I knew that was what you should have said, because I do the exact same thing. And I'm like, "Yeah, Big Ben Parliament." You know, that's yeah.
And the other one we're going to mention in passing, only because is True Lies. And we actually just watched a scene from this.
It's a pretty memorable scene.
It's a pretty memorable scene.
Some good lines in it for sure.
Good movie. He plays a scumbag. In it.
Yeah, he's got a nice mustache.
Yeah.
It's a
I'm a coward.
The role. Yeah.
I have to lie to get laid.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen much. Or whatever. And then he pees himself. So
yeah.
So we're gonna get those four out of the way. And I'll just use that as my pick this time, is just getting those four out of the way. So
there you go. That sounds good. I think what I might do, just to kind of follow that as well, is he also has a small role in The Terminator.
Mm-hmm. Right at the beginning.
Right in the beginning, yeah. He was one of the punk rock guys that approaches Arnold.
The blue-haired Mohawk guy, I believe it was.
Yeah, I think you're right. But, you know, he
approaches Arnold. And you remember what he says?
I forget. What does he say?
Nice night for a walk.
Is that what he said? That sounds like Bill Paxton.
Something like it was. It might not have been exactly that, but it was. Yeah.
But he ends up providing Arnold with his clothing.
Yeah, there you
yes,
go.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
So. And let's get this out of the way too, because there's internet debate about who has been killed by predators, terminators, and aliens. Because some say it's only Bill Paxton, some say it's Bill Paxton and Lance Henriksen. So let's just get out of this way. It depends on what you consider killed. Because you don't see Bill Paxton killed, you see him thrown against a fence.
That is true. Very true.
You do
that
see him killed true. In Aliens.
Yes.
And you do get see him get killed in Predator 2.
Yes.
Lance Henriksen, you see get killed by a Terminator in Terminator, obviously, because he gets shot in the back in the police hallway.
Right.
And I don't think there's any question with him getting killed by the Predator, is there? There's the question with him is the alien, because he's an android who does not actually die immediately.
That's true, yeah. And so, in fact,
But I say they both get that I, in my opinion, to settle the debate as far as I'm concerned, they both, even though you don't see Bill Paxton died, it's kind of implied. He's thrown violently into a fence, and his clothes are taken. So,
yeah. You have to assume that he's probably dead.
Yeah.
Dying.
Bishop is an android who, in essence, dies because of a massive wound caused by the queen alien. Right.
Yeah, ripped
right.
in half. But so, he is brought back in Alien Cube for at least his head is.
Yeah. Right. He is, but I mean, he's as much as dead, right?
Yeah, so. Yeah.
He powers down again.
He does. That, yeah. That is true. Yeah.
So
yeah.
He would still be alive if there wasn't for an alien. So therefore, I will say killed by. So I feel that they both deserve the honor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
I could do that.
I can roll with that. All right. I agree with that. The.
I kind of let's just spoil the Predator 2 by
Yeah. In fact, I think that gets that out of the way. We don't need to mention it because it has been mentioned. I'm not sure what else do we have to mention. Do you want to go next, Sam? Do you have another?
Sure. Add? I got 1992 Trespass with Bill Paxton. William Sadler, if you recognize that name, he was one of the main bad guys in Die Hard 2. He was the military guy who actually kicked John McClane off the plane. And this was before they became cops on television shows and movies. They were more of gangsters and gang members. It's Ice-T and Ice Cube. Hey!
Oh, get out of here!
Yeah. So,
I thought I'd seen this movie, but I don't think I've seen this movie now.
Yeah. Well, this movie was about two firefighters. Which,
by the way, if you add lemonade, you get an Arnold Palmer.
I'm you get saying. An Arnold. There you go.
That's it.
Between two firefighters, Paxton and Sadler. And they find this map. Well, this map is leading to gold, basically, a treasure of gold. But it is placed in the bad part of town where it is. It's the territory of the gang member. And the head of the gang is Ice-T, and his name is King James. In this movie, yeah,
I've read a book by him once.
Yeah.
It's kind of popular.
It's kind of popular.
Yeah,
it's the most selling book ever. some pretty good stories.
Had to do with an ark, I believe. Yeah. Some weird stuff.
Yeah, some other stuff.
There's a throwback. That's a callback.
There is a callback. Yeah, man.
So these two firefighters are trying to get the gold, and Ice-T and Ice Cube and the rest of the gang are like, what are these two guys doing in our territory? And they find out, oh, they're after some sort of gold, and things get a little heavy. So that's 1992 Trespass.
Yeah, I'm looking at the movie poster for this movie. I thought I saw this when we first started talking about it. I'm looking at this. I'm like, man, I don't think I've ever seen this movie. I don't even think I knew this movie existed.
Yep.
This is bringing back a lot of Bill Paxton.
I know.
Yeah.
So.
I like how, on the movie poster for Ice-T, it just says T.
See?
There's no ice. Just T.
So now, if you ever play that game... what's the Kevin Bacon game?
6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon?
6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon. If you're like, hey, 6 Degrees of Ice Cube, how is he related to Ice-T? There you go, right there.
There you go.
All right. We're
How's Bill?
For one of our listeners in particular, this will bring back memories, because we used to play 6 Degrees of any two actors.
Okay.
It wasn't just Kevin Bacon. And it would get pretty intense. There was go-to movies, True Romance and Pulp Fiction. They would segue between everything. So it got the most obscure ones that I could think of. I might have mentioned this at one point, was trying to do John Wayne with, I mentioned it during Cannonball Run.
Oh, Jackie Chan.
So there you go. 6 degrees of any two actors. That's for you, Josh.
There you go.
First shout out.
There you go. Yeah. All right. What's next on the list here?
Well, I'll get this one out of the way because I think I'm the only one who saw it. Not in the world, but just in the room right now. Nightcrawler.
Yeah. I've been wanting to watch this movie because I've heard such good things about
it. Dark and it's Jake Gyllenhaal plays a sociopath.
Yeah.
In essence, who is basically just, he tries to be the first person to crime scenes. to take pictures to sell to the news, or video to sell to the news as it goes on later. And Bill Paxton's role in this is he's kind of a rival, and kind of a bullyish rival at first, you know, whatever. But
I could kind of see him playing that role.
Yeah, and he plays it really well.
Yeah,
and the movie is really, really good. It becomes at what line are you the press? At one line are you, you know, it's interesting about the lines drawn. It's, you know, it doesn't really play into paparazzi too much, but you can tell it's kind of inspired. Apparently, it's based on an actual person who used to live in New York or Los Angeles. I don't remember which one. But you can Wikipedia. And it's from a long time ago, but he would show up to scenes before cops all the time.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All
right. Well, I guess we'll segue away from that. And I guess we'll talk about Near Dark.
Near Dark.
That's a really memorable movie for me, too, that has Bill Paxton in it. I think I saw it right around the same time that I saw Aliens. I saw Near Dark right around the same time frame when I was growing up. And I just love his performance as like a vampire cowboy in it. And it just, that whole type of, the whole plot of the movie, I think, is really interesting. Having Lance Henriksen in it as well. And you mentioned the one actor that was on Heroes.
It's the main.
Yeah, which is character. Crazy. That guy, I had no idea until you mentioned that.
But Adrian something.
Yeah,
Pascal or something. I forget.
That sounds right. I guess
probably close enough.
Yeah, it's close enough.
Close enough.
Yeah, yeah. that's just a really good movie. I enjoy that movie, and he has a really good scene in the bar.
Yeah,
with them fighting. I remember him having the spurs on his boots.
Yeah,
and taking out one of the bar patrons and.
Oh yeah,
with that.
Yeah, he's also on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
He's Talbert.
That's right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Because I stopped watching, but I remember seeing one of the commercials.
Yeah. Sam just informed us about is the actor that was from Heroes is also Talbert on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep.
There you go. Bringing it together. Like that. I completely didn't even make that connection, but yeah, there you go. So, I don't know. Is there anything else you want? I just watched it
yesterday.
Yeah, so it's fresh in your mind.
And I hadn't seen it in forever. And I just kind of wanted to see it because I just wanted to see if it still held up. And it does for the most part. It is very 80s and it's very, the soundtrack is very synthesizer.
So if you're a fan of synth.
Yeah. And it's Academy Award winning, right? Catherine Bigelow for The Hurt Locker. Didn't she win for that?
Oh, yeah. You know what I think you're right.
She did win for Hurt Locker.
She used to be romantically involved with James Cameron. So that's why you've got so many of the same actors going back and forth. They were married for a while, but then I think they broke up because he got involved with Linda Hamilton.
Correct. Yeah, during Terminator 2, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
So,
and we know how that ended.
I think it's Adrian Pazdar, that's his name. I was looking up in the background while we talked. It's pretty good. There's a couple things that are kind of like coincidental, too coincidental.
Yeah.
But that happens in movies. But yeah, it's just over the top, like we talked about before with him playing that vampire. Yeah, it was just sweet with like licking the blood off his fingers and finger licking good, you know. And, but he's probably a high. You know who I got vibes of watching that movie? I got vibes of the Corinthian from Sandman. With his hair that way and with the sunglasses.
Yeah. I could totally see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, now that you mention that, yeah. Interesting.
I also like it because these vampires don't glitter in the daylight.
Yeah, which is, you know, nice to see.
They explode.
Yes, they explode. And catch on fire.
They catch on fire and then explode.
Yeah.
And that's what vampires should do.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Not sparkle.
I remember when watching that
movie. Hey, what's another word for near dark? Like, if we were just to sum it up in one word.
Not
quite
midnight.
Dark.
Yeah.
Like, it's still got some sort of light.
Like dusk, maybe?
Kind of dusk.
Kind of dusk.
I'm thinking, like, a better word. Like, a twilight. No. Twilight? Would that be
Twilight?
That'd be Near Dark, right?
Yeah, kind of Near
some
Dark.
Some say yes. That's
yeah.
Nice.
So yeah. She even ripped off the title.
Man.
My hatred for those stories.
She confused the exploding with sparkling, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You
know. Yeah.
Yeah.
It turned into a love story, which I guess Near Dark was kind of a love story, right?
Yeah, it is kind of a love story. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just remember watching that movie. I'm like, man, these are some dirty vampires. Yeah.
Oh, Near Dark.
Yeah,
yeah, they are. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But you know what? They had fun, and I don't remember before that you saw vampires in popular fiction who went around having fun with what they were doing.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think that's what I kind of
liked
about it. Like
being
too.
Evil and dark and slinking in shadows and things like that. And yeah, these ones, you know, obviously have to stay in the dark, but. They go into a bar and they order drinks and they have fun and they drink the waitress and, you know, they kill the bartender, kill everybody in there. And
they enjoyed being vampires.
They enjoyed it. It was part of who they were and they owned it.
They fully embraced it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I think that's, and when I think about it, I think that's the first time I've ever seen that in a movie with vampires.
I'm sure it probably existed before that.
Yeah, probably. But it's in my,
And this came out probably around the same time as Lost Boys, right?
Huh? Yeah, probably. Yeah. I'm trying to think of which one I saw first, but yeah.
I know I saw Lost Boys first, but I'd be interested to see how close they came out to each other. Maybe during someone's next pick, I'll take a look.
Yeah. There we go. All right. I don't have
that wasn't even
else.
My pick. What am I still talking about?
Yeah, I know that. It's all right. Well, you saw it recently, so I wanted to hand it off to you to discuss. Yeah. So.
Well, we'll jump from being vampires to being rivals in a family war. It was the miniseries in 2012, The Hatfields and the McCoys.
Aha!
Bill Paxton was Reynolds McCoy, and Kevin Costner was William Hatfield. Also starring in that movie was Powers Booth, which that is still one of the coolest names ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Tom Berenger.
Tom Berenger. I always been a I didn't realize he was in that. I've always been a fan of his.
Yep.
Liked him in that Sniper movie. Thought he was really awesome.
and The Substitute.
On The Substitute, too. That's, yeah.
But if you don't know the whole war, it was a miniseries that went over the bitter rivalry between the Hatfields and the McCoys, and it was at West Virginia. Are they West Virginians?
I think so. I think it is West Virginian. Yeah.
Which is still they're not as rivalry today because I think they're kind of making money on the whole rivalry thing, the whole
cashing it in on it
and everything. So I think they're. But there still is a possible, not as strong as, you know, as it first started out. So
yeah,
I think some McCoys married some Hatfields and vice versa. And
yeah, it's a feud between the two families on the West Virginia-Kentucky border.
There you go.
So there you go, yeah.
So Hatfields and the McCoys.
Hatfields and the McCoys.
I just want to say that both those movies came out in 1987.
Really?
Yeah.
The same year?
The same year.
Interesting.
Which was 2 years after Fright Night, so you've got a very little window of three of my favorite horror movies, I guess if you call those.
That's interesting. Huh. I remember hearing somewhere where, and then this is completely, I'm segueing to weird things here, but whenever there's a...
On this podcast?
I know, it's strange. It's so strange.
I can't
it's
believe unusual. We ever
I know, said. I don't know. But whenever
we
there's
usually
a
stay so focused.
I know.
Like laser focused.
Laser focused. The topic.
Like sniper focused.
Exactly. Yes. Bringing it back to Tom Berenger.
Yeah. And Navy SEALs, right?
And Navy SEALs, right?
Man.
Oh, man.
We're so meta right
we're
now.
All about
laser
focused
meta
and laser
focus.
And
we segued off of your segue. Go on.
We did. It's a segue within a segue.
Segueception.
What?
We're
an
exception.
Exactly. where was it? Oh, yeah. Whenever there's... Okay, I'm going to make this brief. Maybe. I don't know. Whenever there's a Republican in the presidential office, there is an increase in vampire films.
Is there?
That's what I've heard. And whenever there is a Democrat as president, there's an increase in zombie films.
Interesting.
And and I haven't really, you know, done any research to confirm this, but this is something that I've heard somewhere or read somewhere. And so I've been wanting to look into it.
Are we to assume that based on that, that we will assume that Democrats are brainless hordes?
I think that's what...
And that Republicans suck.
Yes. Okay. I think that's basically...
There. I tried to insult both equally so that I didn't offend anyone.
Exactly.
Or offended everyone.
Or I think, yes, safer to say that maybe offended everyone.
Okay.
But yeah, yes. I think that is maybe like a takeaway from that.
Okay.
Okay.
Like a mindset of the American populace. At any
given should
time.
Be in for some great vampire.
That's what I'm thinking. That's
years.
What I'm thinking. Right. There's going to be a renaissance of vampire films going on soon.
Maybe. Like, it's going to be so vampire that the world might end.
Right, right,
right. Twilight who?
Yeah.
Exactly. It's going to correct all that Twilight stuff.
Well, realistically, 85, 87, that's Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of famous... The... 28. Well, that wasn't zombie. I'm trying to think of what movies came out during the
Dawn
Clinton era.
The second remake of Dawn of the Dead. When did that come out? Because isn't that is that Clinton?
That might have been Bush. That was Bush.
That might have been Bush. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not sure. That's what I mean. I'm not so sure how solid this theory is.
Maybe another podcast.
But I mean, if you think about it, okay, when
we might do a,
you know,
some we should do a sociological impact of horror movies of the times podcast, because horror movies usually do a good job of reflecting the biggest fears or the biggest problems of a society.
Exactly.
So that would actually probably be an interesting idea. So.
That would be, yeah.
Good. Hey, how about we spitball during the actual podcast?
That's there you
good.
Go. Yeah, yeah. Hope everyone's enjoying this. This is how our brains work.
I don't even know whose turn it was. Hatfields and McCoys? Was that what we were talking about?
No, we were on the Hatfields and McCoys.
Yeah,
McCoy,
yeah. And then I did the weird segue.
Okay.
And then there was another segue.
Are we done with the Hatfields and McCoys, or is there more info?
No, we're done with the Hatfields and McCoys.
Well, I would like to have a segue between your choice, and I will go straight to Frailty.
Frailty.
Which also features Powers Booth.
There we go.
Oh, my gosh. Look at that. What is happening here?
That just happened.
Directed by Bill Paxton.
And you know what? Powers Booth and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And possibly your next one.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay. So, who knew we would find the Powers Booth connection?
What? That is crazy.
This is where we stand up in front of Castle Grayskull with I Have the Powers.
That's right. That is right.
Okay, so anyway, Frailty, directed by Bill
Paxton. I
think
we figured out how Hollywood works.
I do too. I think we have 6 degrees of Bill Paxton planned out right now for everybody. But Frailty, I love this movie. Like, I don't. It's not a movie that I like. It's one of the most underrated movies, I think, because I don't hear a lot of talk about it ever. I thought it was directed beautifully. I thought. It was the first time I ever saw Matthew McConaughey in a role where I took him seriously as, and I really don't have anything bad to say about it. Bill Paxton is, terrifying in his role as a dad teaching his kids to hunt demons, which doesn't sound like that would be scary, but it becomes scary when he brings the first demon home and it's just like a nurse duct taped. And he's like, we have to kill her, whatever. But I just remember this: him saying to the son that doesn't want to go along with it, going, "You're not a demon, are you?" And it was very creepy. It's a very good movie. Oh,
that is yeah, that is.
You
good
don't
movie.
Know what's going on, and there's, you know, endings and stuff like that, like in so many movies. And I have so much respect for this movie. I won't even spoil it.
There you go.
You should just watch it. It's good.
That is a good movie. I've seen that movie too, and Bill Paxton is, you know, in some movies where he's over the top and kind of.
Yeah, he's funny. Not over the top in this at all. No, he plays the role very seriously
and well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I have nothing else to add to Frailty. I guess I will talk about Tombstone.
Featuring.
Bill Paxton
and. Powers Booth.
Booth.
There you go.
There you go. That's a crazy connection going on right there, and there it is. But yeah, I don't have a. I guess I don't have too much.
We talked a little bit about it a couple episodes ago. Yeah. I think last one that's up in
Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm your Huckleberry.
Just that's my favorite great
lines. Yep.
So many good lines in that movie.
That is, and that movie is totally rewatchable.
And I quote it a lot.
Yeah,
I do. Two places that I quoted a lot is I say, and nobody understands this reference, and I don't blame them, and I don't know why, but every time something aggravates me in my life, I'll say, it's like playing poker with my brother's kids, which Billy Bob Thornton says in passing. And the other thing is like, when someone's going to leave or whatever, work or whatever, I'll go, well, bye. one of the people who work for me texted me, "Hey, I'm going to leave. If that's okay." And I texted back that video of Powers Booth saying that. So,
oh, also a connection. Michael Bean's in.
Michael Bean.
He is. Michael Bean is in that as well.
Johnny Ringo.
Hey, it was the Johnny Ringo.
Yeah.
Just Val Kilmer though steals that movie.
Oh, he does. He's amazing in that movie.
When he's like, we could have a spelling contest. Like the way he says everything. I mean, he just plays drunk tuberculosis patients so well.
He does. And who knew?
But it's inherently rewatchable. And it's
really, I'd like to see a whole movie with just Doc Holliday in it.
Oh. Just gunslinging and women. Gunslinging and women.
Drinking, boozing.
Drinking and boozing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Bill Paxton played Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
They always called him Morg, which is ironic because he's the first brother to end up there.
Yeah. that is true. Wow.
They killed my brother, Bill Paxton.
Yeah. Oh,
and I just meant on the film, too, because I just realized that probably sounded like I talk about real life. And I was not trying to be disrespectful.
Yeah.
So.
All we have nothing but respect for Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's why this podcast episode exists.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, this is our first in memoriam, truly in memoriam episode.
Yeah,
where we're talking so much about it.
Yeah, because he means so much.
Yes,
there's so many movies that we enjoy and everything. And there we go.
Sam, you got any more?
Oh, I'm all out.
The only other one that I would talk about is Edge of Tomorrow, which is one of the more recent roles, and he didn't have a very big role in that, but he just kind of played jerky officer.
Yeah.
He wasn't really a drill instructor there, but it was him he was the mission leader or whatever. And he was really good in the role.
Yeah. Then. He's good at those side characters that are just kind of in films and, you know. But he can also do a lead character as well. He's a versatile actor and you know.
And I watched maybe an episode or two of Training Day, and it would have been interesting.
I forgot that was going on too.
That would have turned out to be. But the episodes that I've seen were pretty good, so you know he will be missed.
I don't know if he would have immediately came to mind had we thought up a topic like this, but in hindsight, I can't think of another single actor who runs through so many of the movies that I watched so religiously in my formative years, just off the top of my head. You know, you've got some people who are like the big stars, but he just runs through so many.
Genre films in particular, like horror films, action films, sci-fi,
natural disasters.
Yeah,
yeah.
The gamut. He runs the gamut.
Yeah.
He's in everything.
So.
So yeah, he's definitely a character actor that will be missed.
Yes, but his legacy, I'm sure, will live on for.
Yeah.
The movies that he was in, I think, will stand the test of time. So.
Yeah, I think so too. Yes. I think so too. Definitely. All right.
All right. So are we done talking about Bill Paxton?
I think we are.
We salute you, sir. Godspeed.
Rest in peace and.
Game over.
Game over.
Game over.
Yep.